Hello, this is Mike, and before we start the show, I wanted to dedicate this episode of From the Rookery End to my Auntie Mary, who sadly died in August of this year. Auntie Mary and Uncle Dave and my cousins, Rich, John and Anna, big Watford fans, and a big reason that I'm a Watford fan. They lived in Bushy when we were growing up, and they introduced me to the wonderful world of Watford. And one of the proudest things about doing From the Rookery End was the knowledge that Mary and Dave, my auntie and uncle, tuned in every week. They listened week in, week out to my nonsense. And that made me hugely proud to know that I was, I don't know, sharing some time with those guys. It felt really special to me. So thank you, Auntie Mary, for listening. Thank you to Dave for listening. Thoughts with you all at this difficult time. And this one's for you, Auntie Mary. Come on, you ones.
Welcome to From the Rookery End. My name is John. With me today, as we look back on Watford 2, Birmingham City 0, is Mike.
Forgive me, John Eustace, for we have sinned.
Now, that was my first follow-up question was going to be, how bad was the security to keep him you away from him, Mike?
I respect the restraining order. So the security that was laid on for Mr. Eustace was very evident, but it wasn't required. I respect the boundaries. And I just let him get on with his work. I was able to admire him from a distance, which I think he's happy with, despite everything that's happened. It's always good to have him back. Very, very fond memories of John Eustace. And it was quite good to see a Birmingham side in his sort of full-blooded mould, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it really was. And joining us this week is Adam Drury. Good. Hello, Adam.
Hi, guys. How are you?
As you said before we started recording, it's always nicer Monday after a win. Did you leave skipping Vicarage Road on Saturday, Adam?
Yeah, it is always nice. You have that, particularly in the manner we did it. Injury time winners are always a treat, aren't they? And we haven't had much to celebrate at Vicarage Road for a few years. So, yeah, nice one on Saturday.
It was. Let's talk through it because we got to half time. Let's talk about the first half and then the second half. But we got to half time and I heard someone say, someone behind me sort of said, oh, that was turgid. So that wasn't turgid. It wasn't bad. Then Kieran said to me, it was a bit lukewarm. And then, of course, Mr. Ollie Wicken, who's, of course, celebrating his 100th edition of Hornet Heaven this week. Well done, Ollie and Colin on that. He said tepid. Mike, it felt tepid, didn't it, really, as a performance, that first half at least?
Sort of. I quite enjoy, you know, me, ever the contrarian, I quite enjoy these sort of championship battles. Saying it's two bald men fighting over a comb is probably pushing it a little bit too yeah. far. But that's sort of, I likened it, I think, in the group. I said it's a bit like that Oscar-winning film, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Once you accept what it is, it's quite enjoyable. Once you come to terms with the fact that Watford and Birmingham are two relatively average teams duking it out, there's something to be enjoyed in that. And that probably applies more to the overall game than the first half. I guess I'm probably being a bit revisionist, sort of with the golden tinted glasses, knowing how it ended. But I think
you were, Mike. I would say on the WhatsApp group during the game, as you sent messages, there was definitely a sanguine sort of Mike Parkin there.
Yeah,
you were not getting angry. You weren't getting worked up about little details. You weren't sort of sitting there going, "Oh, if we keep missing those chances, this is going to happen."
Can I tell you,
sunshine was out, and I know the fact that it actually felt like the first game of the season because none of the visits so far felt like the first game of the season with the temperature and the weather. But this felt like you were in a lovely place.
Well, I'll tell you, talking about the weather, Arlo always describes it as a yellow crowd because everyone goes with no coat and everyone can see their shirts. He always enjoys that. But I'll tell you what did wind me up, and I think in terms of the first half, the opening bit of action was Dan Backman was called into action very, very early to save from Stansfield, I think it was. And it was a smart save, as you'd expect him to make it, but it was a decent enough save. And sort of while, so that was the first real bit of action in the first half. But then I think it was after about 20, 25 minutes when we're used to it now, Dan Backman having to take the ball, pass the ball, play the ball, sometimes under pressure, sometimes inviting a little bit of pressure, occasionally sort of stumbling over the ball a little bit, which is still going to happen. And I'm in the middle of the Sir Elton John stand, and I thought I heard a little bit of murmuring of discontent, almost booing of Backman at one stage.
You thought you did? I tell you I did. So the rookery, I don't think it's actually booing, but there's a moment where the ball goes towards Backman and everyone goes, like it's a ghost turning up or something. He hasn't done anything. The ball is literally going towards him. And they're making up in their heads.
That isn't... Well, I disagree with that. I think that's an involuntary reaction, because if your goalkeeper is hanging onto the ball with a nimble striker in Stansfield or a big lump in Hogan coming towards you, it's almost an involuntary action. You want them to get rid of it. You never want the opposition to score, and the opposition don't tend to score when the ball's in the other penalty box. So it's almost as a supporter, it's like an involuntary reaction. Get rid of it. That is natural. So I get the sort of trepidation and the sort of clenching of fists and the sort of intake of breath. I understand that. What I found difficult to get on board with or align myself with was the booing of Backman. If indeed that's what I heard, it certainly sounded like rumbles of discontent. You guys are closer to that end of the pitch, so can confirm or deny that. But what struck me was that this, and you mentioned it, John, you sort of alluded to it there with how I'm managing to enjoy the game, that the atmosphere does feel better at the Vicarage Road. People feel like, in the main, they're getting behind this Watford side. But I found it quite interesting, to put it mildly, that people were getting at our own goalkeeper so early in the game against an undefeated side when he's effectively doing what he's evidently been asked to do by the head coach. We were crying out for patterns of play last year. We were crying out for tactics. We were crying out for a discernible identity. We've got one this year, and there is obviously going to be hairy moments. There will be mistakes, and there will be goals that come as a result of it. Of that there is no doubt. And we'd all rather that didn't happen. But I think surely if you look at the bigger picture and what we're building towards and trying to create, and ultimately how the game played out, easy, you know, hindsight is 20/20, obviously. I think to be the home supporters, to be criticising the home goalkeeper after 20, 25 minutes felt difficult for me. And that's one element of it I didn't enjoy. I will repeat the caveat. I get the frustration and concern and worry. That's an involuntary reaction as a supporter, not wanting your team to concede. But I do think in the great healing process of Watford Football Club, which we're all going through as supporters after two really crap years, we do have to take a step back and sort of look at the bigger picture and realise that this is a tanker turning as opposed to a sort of Tokyo Drift 3-point turn or whatever it is, skidding and reversing the direction straight away. There is work to be done, and I feel like we need to be there for that journey. And I just felt a little bit disappointed that it felt like there was some dissenting voices so early on in the piece. That's the negativity over and done with. Over to you guys. I may have completely misconstrued that.
Adam, was one of your voices the people worrying about Mr. Daniel Backman?
Well, I can't deny that, you know, there wasn't the odd occasion in the first half where you go, whoa, kind of like you were describing, John. I'm completely with Mike. I think there's probably always going to be a section of the support that couldn't care less about processes and turning the tank around and looking at the bigger picture. You know, it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday, we want to win. And some of the things you see on Saturday were a little bit hairy, particularly in that first half, because I actually didn't think... I think if you ranked our overall league performances so far from 1 to 6, I actually didn't think Saturday's was one of the best at all. And that's partly a nod to how impressed I was by us in the first 5 games. The process and the style that we're trying to build is absolutely right, and I'm right behind it. I don't think that necessarily gives players a pass to make mistakes. And I thought on Saturday, in the first half particularly, some of the play was quite slow and lethargic. And I would wonder if the pressure of not having picked up the points, which I thought we definitely deserved in the first 5 games, might have, you know, crept into the minds of the players in the opening stages on Saturday. But ultimately, I completely agree with Mike. This is a start of a new process. And over the summer, we, as a fan base, basically all agreed this is the time to draw a line in the sand and start from scratch. New identity, new culture, new style of play. Let's stick to a plan. And I think if in the summer we'd been offered not winning promotion for the first year, maybe even the second year, but putting things in place which might lead to longer term success, we'd have all taken that. And yet 6 games in, that's, to me, is exactly what has happened so far. I think it's basically going to plan. And so, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing to hear so much discontent around the stadium. It wasn't much. I think it's a minority, but it would be nice if, as I think Mike is saying, he's done, and I think I'm trying to do as well, we could be a little bit more relaxed about the results. The pressure of promotion doesn't exist so much this season. I don't think we can almost enjoy this process, enjoy this Watford team trying to learn to play this way and take pleasure out of it when it goes well, which in the end it did.
Because I actually turned up at Vicarage Road on the way there in the pub beforehand, just thinking, I wasn't going there like with any, not with no emotions, but actually looking, I just wanted to go and find out a bit more and see what the system, how it was going. So Adam, do you look at that? You said a bit slow in the first half. I put the word ponderous. Do you put that down to the fact that the system is overly, whatever Valerian is trying to do, overly conservative? Or do you think it's because those players aren't quite up to it? Like there were moments I sort of thought Porteous was, you know, driving the ball forward, wasn't quite making the not the obvious choice, but a quick enough choice. So it just slowed it all down. Is it conservative thinking or is it bad choices, do you feel?
Yeah, no, on the basis of the first 5 games, I definitely don't think it's conservative thinking and being on the back foot, because I think we played with loads of energy in those first 5 games, and that's what Ishmael talks about all the time. I think there are certain players who are more comfortable playing this way than others, and I think at the moment you can still almost see the fear in the eyes of Porteous being one, Batman being another, where they're not used to doing these things that they're being asked to do, whereas Wesley Hood next to Porteous, to me, is an absolute natural at playing out with his left foot. It looks like he's got forever when he's on the ball. And I think he's easily our best defender at doing the things that they're being asked to do. I've been pretty impressed by how they've all taken to it in the first few games, but definitely Porteous is looking like he's more likely to make a mistake than the others. But as we've said, this is the process we've got to stick with. I thought the ponderous nature of that first half on Saturday, as I said, might be down to the fact that because we didn't pick up the points that we probably deserved from those first 5 games, suddenly the pressure is on 2 home games this week to actually try and pick up a win and get us going. Mm. And if we haven't picked up a win in this first couple of home games with this new block, suddenly those doubts start to creep into your mind. Is this the right path to be going down? Are we just kind of sleepwalking our way into mistakes and giving away goals, which is why it's so important that we went on to win on Saturday. But I think it's natural that while we're learning new things, it's not always going to come easy.
What's fascinating to me is that this isn't what we expected to see from Valerian Ismail's Watford at all, is it? We didn't expect to see playing out from the back. We didn't expect to see the quite intricate and patient football that we're seeing slash sometimes enduring, I think it might be fair to say. So that is interesting that we're learning as well. And I wonder how much Valerian Ismail has had to adapt himself over the course of summer, as the transfer window has evolved and he's seen what's available to him and how we're going to sort of best get the most use out of this squad, which is arguably one of the thinnest we've had, if not the thinnest we've had under the Pozzo ownership, certainly in terms of obvious star quality. And I think you're right, Adam. I think there is probably, frustration amongst fans is potentially fair, just to go on to how we're feeling about it, because we haven't scored. We probably haven't got some of the results we might just about have deserved. But I think the reason we haven't got the results we might have deserved is because we don't create enough. And I personally don't think we're ponderous. I think we are deliberate. And I think the intent is there. I think where we fall down is it looks like we are looking to utilise the flanks, get wide and get balls into the box. And I think we're seeing that happen. But I think all too often what we're seeing is that final ball into the area until when it really counts, or the 91st minute, isn't hitting its mark. So Ngakoue is getting into great positions on the right through really nice build-up play on occasion. And then either he's having to think twice about what that ball's going to be, because he's not necessarily used to potentially being in that advanced position or having so much asked for him in that regard, or he's simply mishitting it. And the same is going for the others. I thought delivery from out wide was pretty hit or miss throughout the game on Saturday. And I think that is really somewhere where we're going to have to need to sharpen up, because that is, in my mind at least, or the way I look at it, and I'm by no means as tactically astute as many fellow Watford supporters, but it feels to me our aim is to get the ball out wide, get the defenders beat, and get balls into the box. And if you're achieving by getting into a position where you can cross, that's our aim. We're getting to that stage and then effectively fluffing our lines.
That first half, Mike, you know, it's almost like you say, tepid, slow, ponderous, whatever it was. Things have changed in the second half. And I don't know, I this season just feels like I'm far more fascinated in the substitutions. I know there's more than there used to be. I mean, God, first time I went to Footmatch, you had one. Where how he's used them, we know he's been playing, often doing three in the 60th minute. That always felt like early on it was all part of the process of getting players up to scratch. But this weekend it felt a little bit different. It felt a little bit more purposeful. And it started, and you talk about those wide, you know, the wide flanks there, Mike. Adam, you know, he started by taking, Morris came off, who had a, you know, neither positive, negative for me, and brought on for his debut, Jamal Lewis. And that lifted things quite a lot. Did it feel the same, Adam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think this is something which Ishmael has done before. When he was Barnsley manager and did well there, there was always lots of talk about how on the hour mark he'd change the strikers. He'd have four or five in the squad that he knew were all at a similar level, and he'd just rotate them on the hour mark, and you wouldn't lose anything in terms of energy and intensity, his favourite word. And I think that was what he did there because they had a different style of play. But here at Watford, as Mike's just said, the style is so different to what we expected from him. And he's effectively swapping out the engine room for a new engine room on the hour mark of every game so far. You see the fullbacks change. I can't remember if both fullbacks have changed in every game, but the fullbacks often change. You see both wide players change and a change in midfield as well, usually between 50 and 60 minutes. And the result is that we don't lose anything in terms of energy and industry from those areas. I thought Lewis was definitely a positive in the second half. I think one thing we lack in attack in this squad is pace. There's no Martins is quick enough, but you wouldn't say he's a kind of pace merchant, and all the other wide players and centre forwards are more ball to feet wingers who can then play the ball back through midfield or like to come in on their stronger foot inside. And I think you saw that at times on Saturday, but the pace in our attack can come from the fullbacks in Andrews and Lewis. And actually there were a couple of times when Lewis made runs down the left that were ignored by Shaq Fatadze, and I saw Ishmael at one point give Shaq Fatadze a bit of a volley because he hadn't played the ball in. I think he cut in on his right foot and had a shot instead. So I think those fullbacks are really, really important positions for us in attack because it can go quite stale and quite slow otherwise, because that threat in behind doesn't quite exist. We've got used to having Ishmael Assar for the last, what was it, four seasons, who, when his mind was on the game and, you know, when he was at his best, raced in behind on a regular basis, was frighteningly quick, and we always had that threat in behind while he was in the team. And I think it was noticeable on Saturday in the second half as well that threat in behind doesn't really exist and that the game is always in front of the opposition's back line. Lewis, I thought, made some really good runs. We probably didn't use them as well as we could have done, but it was a good sign that he was willing to make them, and hopefully in time that can be our kind of in behind threat, because I don't see where it's going to come from our natural attacking players.
You're a lot more negative than I thought, Adam. Or a little more. What's the word I'm going to say? Reserved, perhaps, in your praise for this new look Watford side. I think Jamal Lewis has played a half of football for Watford, but he looked like a proper footballer. I thought he looked like someone who can definitely add to the side, and it's interesting to sort of contextualise him by comparing his performance with that of James Morris. John, as you rightly said, he was neither positive or negative, and I think that's about right. He was a bit of a sort of average performance really from James Morris, where I think previously he's actually, we've spoken pretty positively on him, certainly in early weeks of this season's podcast. But I thought when Jamal Lewis came on, he actually caught the eye. He's someone who looks like a, I said sort of slightly jokingly about the standard of Birmingham and Watford. And I think he looked like one who is probably a little bit of cut above the average. And I thought that was quite exciting. And I think you're right, Adam. I think what he brought to Watford, they did look a little bit more energised straight away after half-time when he came on, and they looked a bit more, the shape looked better, the balance looked better, the outs looked better, the options looked better. And of course, that was supplemented about 10 minutes later when Asprilla came on. And that, you just had that all of a sudden, he sort of the sort of shape and the look and the feel of the side changed a little bit, didn't it? So he had Jamal Lewis, who looked a lot more threatening, a lot more composed, a lot more just like a footballer, if that makes sense. And then he also had Asprilla came on, and he just brings that little bit of electricity goes round in the stands, doesn't it? And you know that the opposition have got something else to worry about. He's not shy about taking on a man, and he's got a box of tricks that he's not afraid to use.
From the Coventry game, you know, what Colin was sort of saying, he was loving the fact that it was experienced Ince, and it was, you know, the energy of Martins on the other side, that sort of balance in terms of that attack. And we had sort of said that with Asprilla, when he had started before, you saw Ince was, you know, brought into the starting 11, that yes, we absolutely love all those things, Mike, but he's still a fair way off it. It didn't quite feel the same there. And I almost feel similar to what we said about Martins, the fact that, you know, there was that threat from Lewis, that new threat on Lewis. It all of a sudden didn't make his substitution such a key chess move. It was a thing to change things up a little bit, but it wasn't as important because so many things happened. Not all at once, but, you know, very soon afterwards, Mike.
What it feels to me is that Valerian Ismail is trying to sort of finesse his way to victory. I don't think he's ever confident overplaying his hand too much, going for it too much. I think that much is evident. I think what this Watford squad does have is the changes that we can make later in the game. So let's look at who came on. Asprilla, Chakvetadze, Kone, not as attack-minded, but actually had one of his better games. But Asprilla and Chakvetadze coming on, they do add an extra dimension, I think, to this Watford side. But I don't think we'll ever see, probably, unless it's required, we'll see those two start. I think they're too attack minded for Ismail. And I think it feels to me like we'll stay in the game, we'll stick to our game plan, we'll try and get wide, get the balls in. We know we've got changes we can make on and about the sort of 60, 70 minute mark to start sort of ramping up the pressure a little bit. But what I found fascinating, and I'm leaping ahead a little bit, was before the sending off, sort of about 75, 80, 80 odd minutes, there was a bit of a lull in the game, and it felt like Watford had started ramping up the pressure a little bit with the introduction of Asprilla, and Ince didn't have his best game, I don't think, and Asprilla came on and gave everyone a new lease of life, that Lewis we've talked about. It felt a little bit like we didn't quite know whether to stick or twist, whether this Watford side was really going for the win in the dying embers, or were just hanging on to sort of capitalise on that slight dynamic change of bringing on those exciting players.
Do you think that was because the options in terms of attack, Adam mentioned the fact that, you know, he used to be able to rotate his strikers at Barnsley. He had no strikers to rotate. So the pieces he had to change on Saturday, I'm not quite sure why Bio wasn't playing, but he didn't have an option really there to make that move. So everything had to be done sort of behind. So it was a little bit more, he was not forced into, but, you know, had to, a little bit
I think that's fair. He was forced to be patient, and perhaps I'm giving him too much credit, because you're right. I mean, we made the comment, didn't we, during the game that Vakoum Bio probably would have made more of an impact up until the 91st minute than Rajovic did. You would have seen more of him. He would have had more touches. But would he have scored the goal in the 91st minute that Rajovic did? He obviously wouldn't. I don't. Well, obviously wouldn't. That's doing him a disservice. Most likely wouldn't. So I think that's a good point, John. I think perhaps I might have been going over the top a little bit in my praise of that patience.
Not you.
And that and that slowly sort of having confidence in that approach. And I did wonder, you know, Birmingham were in yellow card trouble relatively early. They had a booking in the fifth minute. Buchanan, who went on to get sent off, was booked quite early in the first half. I think it was about half an hour as well. Had another booking briefly after that as well. So they're on three bookings at half time. So they were in sort of disciplinary trouble. And I just wondered whether we were biding our time a little bit and just waiting to turn the screw until something happened, or whether that was just blind luck that ultimately Buchanan did get sent off. But it was for a pullback on a spear, I think. It was a definite yellow card.
Yeah.
A definite red card. And then obviously it's in the 87th, 88th minute, but you know there's going to be injury time with the current rules. So effectively, you're still 10 minutes out. So I guess my question to both of you guys is, perhaps starting with you, Adam, is do you think that Watford's patience, do you think that was, I almost felt like it was a bit of a masterclass. That we stayed in the game. Let's not forget that Birmingham were undefeated, and we were very much not undefeated. We've struggled. We haven't asked questions of the keeper. And I thought what we did, we stayed in the game, and the tide shifted ever so slightly as the game progressed. We stood up against Birmingham's pretty aggressive tactics. I thought there were a lot of fouls. I know Birmingham fans were complaining about the yellow cards. I thought all of them were justified. I don't think the ref had a bad game at all, despite his well-publicised allegiances. And I think that what Watford did was they stood up against a team that last year they would have folded against, and they just ever so slightly changed the game as it went on, hung in there, and were ultimately able to deliver right at the end, which was they got wide, they stuck to the game plan, they got it wide, slung the ball into the box, and there was Rajovic with effectively his only touch of the game. But if you're a big number nine in his mould, you only need one touch. A goal only takes one touch. And he did what he was there for. And I just felt an enormous sense of satisfaction at it. I just thought, yeah, that was the plan. Am I being too positive there, too generous with my assessment?
No, I don't think so. I think, as you touched on there, we shouldn't forget that we were playing a decent team who are doing everything they can to stop us, and that breaking them down and creating loads of quality chances isn't just a gimme. I also liked the fact, as you said, that we stuck to our guns. I would rather, at this stage of our development, see us continue, try to play this way than chuck it all in the air and desperately chase the win a different way. We haven't yet been presented with the same scenario where we've had to break down a team with 10 or 11 men behind the ball and score a goal. We just haven't had that situation yet this season, other than, I guess, when we went behind at Stoke. But, you know, chasing the winning goal, we haven't been in that context yet. And I really liked the fact that we stayed patient. We weren't just slinging crosses into the box. We were working the ball. We were working them side to side. I mean, they pick up, six or seven bookings in the game, and that's not just a coincidence. That's because we worked them. We've got clever players who skip past challenges. Asprey earning us that man advantage at the end with a nice bit of skill to get Buchanan sent off. I almost think the cross, the way the goal came about, was what we'd kind of tried to avoid doing for quite a lot of the game in terms of slinging in hopeful crosses. And when we did, they weren't very good, usually, those deliveries from the wide positions. But generally, I felt like we were trying to work them in different ways. And then, obviously, we've got that box threat and the cross. Well, the cross was kind of spot on. The header was definitely spot on. He took it from behind him and flicked it into the top corner. I thought it was an absolutely superb header. And you're right. I think you're right to say there is no chance Bio would have scored it. It's a one in a million. It was a great header. But I liked the way we'd played before that. And there was frustration in the stands through the second half as well that I felt. But I felt like slinging in crosses towards one big centre forward against four defenders was much less likely to work than us try and keep it ticking over, keep them chasing us. And eventually we got that man advantage and made it count.
And of course we went on. The other substitution that we haven't talked about yet is Ngakia going off for young Andrews, young Ryan, as we like to call him. And that, I don't know, before we talk about the goal, and the fact that him and his dad are now the first father-son duo to score for Watford. Kenny Jackett and his dad, Frank, both played. But, of course, Frank didn't score, but Kenny scored lots. It was a big chat on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. Thank you, Watford Treasury, for your research. When you saw them in those that last 20 minutes, did you feel, Adam, you know, Andrews on one side, Lewis on the other, they look very similar. It's really hard to know which ones. Are you sort of sides like, no, same people. He's sort of coming, is it obviously his first choice?
They would be my first choice now, just because I think they give Ishmael everything he wants from the fullbacks. I think, obviously, this season we've had the fullbacks coming inside, close to Sierra Alta, to try and play out that way, and the wide forwards stay wide and hold the width. And I think they've both got the technical ability to do that, but they've also got the pace and the physicality to break in behind, like I was talking about earlier. I think that's going to be a crucial part of our attacking play, those underlapping and overlapping runs from the fullbacks, because they're probably our quickest players. We didn't see loads of Lewis defensively, but I think we've got every reason to believe he's going to be up to the task, because he's played a lot of Premier League games and there's no reason he wouldn't be. And I think Andrews is probably the most exciting player to come out of the academy in the last 10 years or so, I'd say, since sort of Sean Murray, Tommy Hogan kind of time. I think we've had others who have come through and we've all been willing them to do well, but probably not quite believed they're really going to cut it. Whereas I'd say with Andrews now, we're at a stage where he is cutting it and he's going to be a big part of the squad this season, and we really need to tie him down to a new contract, because I think it's up at the end of this season or next. Seems to be a few different stories about that. Yeah, I think they are our two most versatile, impressive performers at fullback at the moment. I think, as you said, Morris did okay. He probably lacks physically. And I think Ngakia sometimes can just be a little bit all over the place. He's had good games and not so good games this season. But I think Andrews and Lewis will establish themselves as first choice. But like we just said, they're positions that are being changed on the hour mark quite consistently anyway. So I'm sure they're all going to get loads of games.
Amazing, Mike, when he scored his goal. There's an audible, and I like it. You had it when Lloyd scored his goal. There's the cheer for the goal, and then it goes up a little bit when they know it's a young player, it's him scoring his first goal, and his sheer love on his face as he skidded towards Harry the Hornet was wonderful.
Yeah, I was going to mention his athleticism is probably a reason that gives him a leg up in Valerian Ishmael's thoughts in terms of who he starts with. And his athleticism was in full view, wasn't it, as he streaked off to celebrate in front of the 1881 in that corner of the rookery. I remember just seeing him just disappear off almost into the distance. And it was a goosebumps moment, wasn't it? Yeah, we'd sealed the win in the, whatever it was, the 97th minute. We knew at that stage the 3 points were safe, because Birmingham did sort of, I was going to say they roared back after we scored, but it did have that sort of slightly hectic feel after we scored. And I thought, oh, crikey, there's still actually a few minutes to go here. Don't throw it. So there was the, like you say, there was the celebrations, the limbs, if you like, that accompany a last minute sort of the full stop on getting the win of so late on. And then that double realization of what exactly had happened in front of the rookery end on Academy Day, the match day closest to Graham Taylor's birthday, all those things that lead into it. But ultimately, regardless of any of that, what you want to see as a football fan is someone with a massive link to your club scoring. There's no better feeling than, you know, that one of our own chant. I think it gets used a little bit frequently when, you know, I think some people use it when it's not necessarily true. But, you know, the lineage of Ryan Andrews is well known to us as Watford supporters. We're old enough to have watched Wayne Andrews play. Sorry, Wayne, if you're listening, to put it in those terms. But we've seen, I was sat behind Wayne Andrews when Ryan made his debut at Coventry last season. And I think for us as Watford supporters to see someone so closely linked to the club to score effectively a winner in front of the rookery when it was much needed, as Adam's pointed out, it's been a vaguely frustrating start to the season. We needed the win. And for Ryan Andrews to put the cherry on that victory cake was a magnificent moment. And it's definitely one that, you know, definitely a contender for moment of the season already. And what a buzz for a young man like him to come on and score, and just to hear that, like you say, John, hear that massive roar and to be able to celebrate in front of the rookery. It's literally the stuff that dreams are made of. And if you can't be on the pitch there scoring it, to be there to see it is a pretty decent second best, and absolutely made up for him. And as a supporter base, for us to have that moment, they have been few and far between over the past couple of years. It's really nice to feel something. You know, I was a little bit critical earlier on in the piece, but that's a moment that we were all stood shoulder to shoulder, bundling around. One of those moments where everyone probably ended up a couple of rows in front of where they started off, and there would have been hugs and high fives and grins, you name it. A beautiful, wonderful Watford-y moment. And really lucky to have been there. And I don't think it's overstating it. So it was a goosebumps moment, wasn't it? It was lovely, lovely stuff. Absolutely loved it. But I'll forever have, I think Art of Football are doing some stuff with Watford, and they have those, they paint those images, don't they, for sweatshirts. I'll forever have that image of Ryan Andrews streaking off towards the rookery end, celebrating that goal in my mind. Superb moment, and fitting way to end the match. It really put a nice cap on it. Loved it.
It was lovely from my position as well, because I'm right behind the goal in the rookery, and you could just see it going in all the way off the deflection. So you knew that split second before there was no saving it. The other thing on Andrews is, when he came into the side last year, obviously he was given a very sort of orthodox right back role, and I would imagine wasn't given too many instructions. Just a young player, go and do your thing. But this year, it's quite a sophisticated role he's playing. Like I was talking about before, he's coming inside, he's then going round the outside, underlapping, overlapping. He's obviously taking on quite a lot of instruction, which is credit to Ishmael for the way he's communicating it, but obviously credit as well to Andrews for taking it all on. He's got that England under 20 call up earlier in the month as well. So that's kind of validation of what we're seeing. Other people are seeing it from the outside. So yeah, I think he's genuinely a player worth getting excited about. The moment on Saturday was brilliant, but I'm hoping it won't be the last like that, because I think he's absolutely now ready to be probably first choice right back, but certainly, you know, a massive contributor.
I think that's a really good point, Adam, because I think that it's obvious to draw parallels with the Toby Adeyemo moment last year, which you could argue is probably moment of the season. And I think whilst that was a tremendous moment for all the reasons we've just spoken about there, I think there is definitely potentially a talent gap between the two players. I think Toby Adeyemo is injured at the moment, but he hasn't been named in the squad before being injured. And I think that tells its own story. So I think, I think there's probably a greater hope and expectation on the shoulders of Ryan Andrews than there is potentially Toby Adeyemo, not to take anything away from that moment. But it is a nice thought that, as we've alluded to, we're going to see him one of our own week in, week out, and hopefully playing an integral part in a team that I think we're starting to, if not love, certainly like and enjoy spending a bit of time with.
We're the Orns, you're the Orns. Come on, you Orns!
So, Mike, Watford Ladies, you went to the game, last two games you've gone to see. Away at Charlton, and at home to this weekend at Blackburn. What you know, two games you've seen the last 2 weeks, how are they looking for you?
I think there's lots to be excited about this women's team. I think it feels like they've recruited soundly, and it definitely feels like they're at home in the Championship. I don't think they're there just to make up the numbers. I thought the Charlton game was exceptional, really. They went ahead very, very early on. Admittedly, it was a Charlton mistake, pounced on, and Watford went 1-0 up, and then hit Charlton on the break twice before half-time to go in at 3-0. Charlton, as you'd expect, made changes at half-time and threw the kitchen sink at Watford throughout the second half. But I thought they defended absolutely tremendously and continued to look a threat on the break. But I thought the team ethic that delivered that win against Charlton was absolutely magnificent. I think anyone there to see it will echo those thoughts. It was a real performance to be proud of on the road. And then, of course, back to Grosvenor Vale for the game against Blackburn. Charlton probably one of the teams looking at the top half of the table. Blackburn probably closer to Watford in terms of their ambitions in where they're looking to be in that Championship table. And I thought Watford were a bit sluggish in this one. They similar approach in terms of in terms of the trying to hit on the break a little bit with McLean up front. I think she's absolutely superb, and they weren't quite able to unlock Blackburn in the same way as they did Charlton. And it's actually the Watford keeper who had to make probably more of the saves over the piece, had to make a number of really, really decent saves. Like her male counterpart, Dan Backman, on Saturday, she really kept Watford women in the game on Sunday. Conceded from a corner and just weren't really able to forge. There was a real chance at the end, a real gilt-edged chance right at the end, probably 93rd, 4th minute, with a header from a corner, I think it was, that went just wide. And that probably should have ended up in the back of the net, and one all probably would have been a fairer assessment. But the overarching feeling is that there is plenty to be enthused about and plenty to be excited about by this Watford side. They've got plenty of get up and go. They're exciting. They're vibrant. They look well coached. They look like they know what their jobs are. Similar to watching the Watford men, they look at a side who understand what they're out there to do. And I enjoyed both games in different ways. And I urge anyone who has got time to get across to Willesden, or obviously to the Vic when Watford are playing at Vicarage Road, to go on and support this team, because they're really, really, they're good. They're a side worth supporting, and there are plenty of eye-catching players amongst the squad. Like I say, it feels like they've recruited well, and it feels like it could be, it's going to be a tough season, because there are obviously some really, really well-established sides in this championship division this year. But I think Watford feel much better equipped than they were last time they were at this level. And I think hopefully they're going to have to learn quickly from games like Sunday against Blackburn, because they should have got something out of it, but just couldn't quite lift themselves and were lacking that bit of quality. Perhaps where they had the quality away against Charlton to take those chances, they didn't have that on Sunday against Blackburn. And that's going to be the difference in the championship for them. But yeah, I think it's exciting times, and I'm glad that they're obviously getting support from the club. It feels like we are one united football club when it comes to the women at the moment. It doesn't feel like they're a satellite team. It feels like they're well and truly under the umbrella. And I've really enjoyed it, and we'll be definitely getting to as many games as I possibly can.
Adam, I don't know if it's big news, but it's interesting news we've had so far this last week from Adam at the Athletic. He sort of says, you know, apparently Valerian is up for a new contract after 6 games. Very, very, very un-Pozzo-like. What is it, do you think, that they're seeing that's making them go, you're my man, we're going to, you know, we don't know if they're adding money to the contract. Maybe they think they haven't, you know, whatever the original contract was, maybe his wages weren't as high as he wanted. Was it the length of the contract? Is someone sniffing around? But is it right, do you think?
I suppose we don't know those things about money and teams sniffing around. Seems like a possibility when a new contract's being discussed. There's probably two different things here. One is how the job that he's doing, which I think everybody's been really impressed by. He's got us playing a pretty radical new style of play, which I don't think any of us expected to see. It's very clearly defined. It's probably the first time in years where we're going to games knowing what Watford are going to try and do and what they're going to look like. There's much more discipline in the dressing room. He seems to have united the dressing room, professionalism, standards, all those things we're kind of hearing. Obviously, Imran Lusa was dropped for the Blackburn game, and he said afterwards that he can't allow standards to slip to how they were last season, which is kind of a nod to probably how shambolic things were at times last season. And yeah, the way we've played so far has been really impressive. It's been much more encouraging and exciting than I expected. As I said, I think we deserved way more than 5 points from the first 5 games, so Saturday's win probably validates everything he's done up to now. I think in terms of the new contract, my reading of it is it's the club basically trying to shout about the fact that this is a new culture, a new moment, yeah, a walk definitely. In the sand moment over the summer. And they want to let everybody know, including, you know, neutrals as well as Watford fans, that this is what we're doing now. We're committing to something. We know it's not necessarily a guarantee of anything, because Javi Gracia was handed a massive contract a few years ago and then sacked a few months later. So there's no guarantees, but this does seem to be, to me, more the club making a statement about where they want to go from here and the plan, rather than really we need to be handing a guy we appointed a few months ago on a three-year deal, Adam wrote in The Athletic, on a new contract already. I don't think there's any real footballing need for that. It's, I think it's probably a statement of, yeah, how they want to run things from now.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be comparing at least to the fact that they're making a change after six games, when normally after six games, you're getting rid of a manager, is what the external people, of course, would be saying from Watford, outside the bubble people. But it really feels like, having seen Gino talk in the summer, you know, he talked about Rob Edwards, when, how, why he was let go so quickly. And it really seemed to be what he saw, what they saw day in, day out at the training ground. That's really the thing. Either that's gone, it's not happening, it's not what they discussed, it's, yeah, out of control. Whatever it is, they're the things that truly make his decision about someone staying or going. And you assume that in terms of whatever's going on, like you say, the culture, the discipline, all that, the atmosphere around the team seem to be really solid. And that's what they're trying to show. But I haven't really thought about that. Yeah, he's basically trying to show the rest of the world, I've changed, I've changed. I give people contracts. I don't just whip them up.
It does seem like Gino can talk about that, about how you know, he sees everything that goes on, and he'll make a change if he thinks it's the right thing. Up to Ismail, let's be honest, it seemed virtually an impossible task to impress him, because we appointed every single different type of head coach, every background, every style of football, and none of them were given much time to work or impress before they were shipped off. It did seem like, well, two things happened in the summer, and I'm aware we're talking six games in a few weeks, this might all be nonsense when Ishmael's gone as well. But A, maybe Gino decided, I genuinely am going to give somebody a bit of time. But also, it did seem like the way he was talking, he was more impressed by Ishmael than anybody else he'd appointed for quite a while. There seemed to be a real commitment and a warmth between them. And that was before pre-season training had even started, when we heard him talk about Ishmael. So I don't know what it is, but the alchemy, the chemistry between them seems to be much more positive than we've than's been the case with any of his predecessors over the last, how long's it been since one's gone really well? I don't know, four and a half years or so.
I guess this guy won
promotion, but that didn't end very well either. So, yeah, something in the way that Gino's mindset has changed, in the way that Ishmael fits what Gino now wants, whatever it is, that chemistry seems to be working at the moment. Yeah, long may it continue. We could do with now a period where we'll keep our heads down, the board keep their heads down, just keep working, let things develop, because the last thing we want is another period of instability and chaos. Let's just... yeah, hope what the optimism that we've seen so far is just allowed to develop over the next few months. And a new contract is hopefully a sign that that's what they're going to allow to happen.
The game's come thick and fast in the Championship. I don't even remember that, lads, because we've got another game at home on Wednesday. Adam, do you think this, we've talked about, you know, Lewis and Andrews being like the obvious choices there. How close do you think Valerian is to knowing his first choice 11? Especially when we've talked about all this, the impact certain players are going to have, and they seem to be impact players. Do you think he's pretty close?
I think Lewis coming back to fitness definitely solves one of the problems, because it's been Morris and Semmer sort of sharing the minutes at left back. And I'd imagine if Lewis gets fit and stays fit, he's going to nail down that position. There are a few areas we're still not quite sure about, are we? So probably the right wing with Tom Ince and Asprilla kind of sharing the minutes there at the moment. Probably couldn't tell you right now which one is likeliest to start on Wednesday and then again on Saturday. I think they're probably a 50-50 call at the moment. I think we're in good shape in midfield. Obviously, Loser in there as, I guess, our Stardust best player, but actually someone we haven't mentioned from Saturday is Tom Delibashiru, who I thought absolutely shone in the first half. When it was a little bit uncertain around him at times, but his driving force from midfield, the way he runs with the ball, glides past challenges. I thought he was really good at Coventry a couple of weeks ago, and then again, really good on Saturday. And I was almost a bit disappointed he came off, but then that's probably a nod to what we were talking about earlier, having someone fresh come on and keep the momentum going. And then Kone as well, who I think Mike mentioned, put in a kind of weird performance a few weeks ago against Blackburn, where he seemed to be playing at 50%. And then on Saturday, he came to life and we saw the best of him, which we saw at times last season as well. So it's good that, considering we've got a thin squad in terms of numbers, I don't think there are many players who aren't pulling their weight. Everybody seems to be synced up, seems to know what's being asked of them. And at the moment, you could imagine we could make three or four changes on Wednesday night and the level of the team wouldn't come down, because if Shakhtar Tadze came in, if Kone came in, we've got Bayo, who's been okay so far up front this season, Asprilla coming off onto the pitch, off the bench as well. I'm not sure if he knows his first 11, but I don't know at this stage if that's what he's really after, or whether he's after 16 players who can contribute in every game. So I think we're in good.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? It feels like he's happy using it as a bit of a jigsaw, I think. And I think really as supporters, largely speaking, considering our expectations were lowered by the obvious situation, which we could all work out from the transfer window, our expectation levels are at a certain level. And I think really what the players we currently have at our disposal, obvious caveat, there's no suspensions, there's not really any significant injuries, it's got a quite a nice feel to it, the squad, in terms of balance.
Unfamiliar, that's for sure.
Well, there's an obvious issue with scoring goals still, and we had one fit striker available to us on Saturday, so that is an obvious issue. But I think Adam's right to say that I think Valerian Ismail is going to be comfortable moving players around, and I think they are, in effect, and this isn't in a disparaging way at all, they're interchangeable, aren't they? Ince or Asprilla is a good example. They both offer slightly different things. Ince slightly more worldly wise and experienced, whereas Asprilla's got probably more pace, more excitement, but is a little bit more slight and a little bit more naive in times. So the jigsaw puzzles that we switch around are okay. I think we're not going to look at the bench at this stage of the season, having seen what we've seen so far this season, and go, oh, that's disastrous, apart from potentially striking options where we are short. So, and I think that's nice. And I think not to need to know your first 11 is probably quite good. I'm sure every head coach has, if you ask him to name his first 11 without thinking, he probably has got that. But to be able to finesse it slightly and change it and perhaps rotate in, perhaps with a smaller squad, he's going to have to do that, I think, is quite a nice thing. West Brom coming into town, we talk about that as one of the more challenging games of the season, certainly compared to the earlier games we've had, whereas actually they've had an identical start to the season in terms of results. Goals not quite the same, but I think it's the same points return, the same wins, same draws and same losses. Obviously, a side with talent, obviously a side who will expect to do well on the road at Watford. So I think it's a great time for a challenge like this. It's a game that underlights a fairly respected name in this, certainly at this level. So the Watford fans should be up for it. Should be a good atmosphere building on Saturday's performance, which ended obviously with a crescendo. We're hoping that the team are going to push on. There's no reason why they can't. And I'd like to think that Watford fans are coming along for the ride a little bit now. And we could make the atmosphere one that's enjoyable and conducive to the team continuing to improve.
A quick test then. Let's have a test of Adam. You saying he was a bit negative there earlier, Mike. Give us a score prediction then, Adam, for Watford at home to West Bromwich Albion.
I think we'll win.
Okay. A lot, a little, or one? Let's see. Yeah, it's positive, but how positive? Come on. 4, 5, 7.
If you want my range of, if you want my positivity test, I am genuinely very positive about the situation. But I'll go 2-0 again.
Okay. Mike?
2-2. But look, it'll be entertaining. And I hope we win. I think a win would be absolutely enormous for us. I think we saw I hadn't looked at the table when I said in our WhatsApp group, I don't know where we are at the table. And I was actually genuinely quite surprised to find out we were 18th before kickoff on Saturday. And whilst it is early, and whilst we've probably not got our eyes on the top of the table, it was still a little bit 18th, that's a bit iffy. It's an international break and all that sort of stuff starts coming in your head. So to be propelled straight up the table, I think we were 10th at one stage. I think we're 11th or 12th now. But if we can win on Wednesday, that represents a really solid start, because it gives us a solid points return, and it marries up against that sort of incremental improvement that we're seeing on the pitch as well. And I think as supporters, that's something, or as a supporter, I don't speak for anyone apart from myself, of course, that's something that if you've got points that are somehow married up to the performances, that you can be content with that, and you can enjoy going to the football with that. And this is a Watford team that's work in progress, but I'm really, really enjoying watching them get to work. I'm watching them and love watching them sort of, they're learning on the job, a lot of them. They're going to find it difficult as the season goes on. We're going to play against some forward lines, which will absolutely, no doubt, have a field day against. If Wesley Hurt and Ryan Porteous and Dan Backman are in the mood, they can be brilliant. They can also probably ship six against, I don't know, Leicester, for example, and Jamie Vardy sniffing around up there. But that, we're just going to have to get to come to terms with that. It goes back to Everything Everywhere All at Once. That film was absolutely barking mad. But if you sit back and enjoy it for what it is, it was great fun. And I think there's the potential for this Watford side to be great fun to watch as well. We've got to recognise what it is. It's a work in progress. It's a stand-up comedian going out 6 months before his sellout tour across arena tour. That's what we're at the moment. But I think we can enjoy that. They're going out there. They look coached. They look like they care. And they delivered a wonderful moment, a couple of moments on Saturday. There's nothing for me to think that we won't see plenty more of those in the coming season. I'm excited. I'm enthused. Bring on the baggies.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You're welcome. Come on, you Goldens. Cheers, Lance, for putting up for me.
And thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And we're back with another podcast after Watford's trip to Leeds next Tuesday morning.